Again, it would boil down to personal opinion. So you have a country with let's say, an illegitimate leader, one who oppresses the people, who stays in power illegitimately with rigged elections or perhaps no elections. And laws sort of trickle down, right? They trickle down from the top, and then there may be laws at different levels, you know, at national level, depending on what structure was, a state, a province, a district might have their own laws. But how would you really sort them out? How would you ever be able to determine which laws were legitimate versus which were passed or served to maintain the power of the illegitimately elected government? I mean, you can make the argument that almost all laws and people's obedience to almost all laws is in the interest of the government, because the government would collapse if people didn't obey laws and there was chaos in the streets. So even things we might think of as superficial or trivial or unimportant laws might still be crucial for the existence of the illegitimate, oppressive government. People not obeying traffic laws, even people not obeying curfews, things like that could eventually bring down the collapse of a government. So in a sense, if a government's illegitimate, oppressive, genocidal, harmful to its own citizens or other citizens, people in that country obeying the laws of the country are actually helping sustain the power of that government. Whereas disobeying laws and allowing things to become chaotic might actually undermine the government and create instability, which could bring about another government. So one could argue that there's no way to separate out legitimate from illegitimate laws, and therefore any law in what a particular person believes is an illegitimate country should not be followed, or shouldn't be followed because it's a law. Now to go on, I'm going to claim here that there are three logical possibilities with respect to obedience to laws, if we're trying to make a general principled claim. So again, if we're trying to go beyond personal opinion and make a principled claim that we can generalize to all people, such as Kantian claims around morality, there are three possibilities with respect to obedience to laws. One would be a general claim that people should obey all laws. The second possibility would be that people have no obligation to obey any laws. And the third is in the middle. The third possibility is that people have an obligation to obey some laws but not other laws. Or people have an obligation to obey the laws of some countries but not other countries. It seems like those are three all-inclusive logical possibilities. Like, what other logical possibility would there be? It's either all, none, or some. So I'm proposing those three general claims, principled claims, which are sort of analogous to a claim like, you know, nobody should ever kill anybody. And there's going to be exceptions, right? But the general, maybe self-defense, right? Or maybe capital punishment is considered to be a form of self-defense or legitimate retribution or something. But without a good cause, the general law is not to kill, or not to be malevolent, or not to steal, or not to lie. So the three possible claims with respect to obedience to laws constructed by society, right, under the social contract theory, the three possibilities are: one should always obey the law, one should never obey the law, or one should sometimes obey the law. So now this is going to be a logical argument. It's A or B or C. So let's examine each one and see if it's plausible. So my claim is that the first possibility, one should always obey the law, is implausible. And that's because I've already talked about how it makes no sense to obey the laws of a country like Nazi Germany. It seems like that would just be implausible to say that people are required to obey laws passed by oppressive, genocidal, illegitimate governments like Hitler's government. So it's obviously, you know, people, and you know, and there's going to be people in probably in Russia who think, you know, we don't think we should have to obey the laws of the United States. You know, the United States is, or Canada, you know, those are oppressive countries in their own ways, right? So it seems like there could be no objective standard by which to you know, to make this kind of edict, right?
Well,
or imperative.
The other thing, too, is there's going to be contradictory laws. There are going to be states that, well, I guess this is the, it depends on what gets written into legislation, but usually laws are a prohibitive statement. So you don't have, you don't really have states that say in their laws abortion is permitted, but you do have states that say abortion is prohibited. But if there were, there are probably cases of laws legislated in contradiction with each other. So I don't know. I'm trying to think of something, but you can probably think of an example where one state has a law and then another state has another law completely contradicting that law. So you have a scenario where if you tried to follow all the laws, you are trying to do two contradictory things at once. And it seems like the plurality of states makes something like that possible, because it would be difficult to imagine a state that in itself has contradictory laws. If there are contradictory laws, when those laws try to get enforced, you have an apparatus for smoothing out and noticing those things, but you don't have that between states because their judiciaries consider themselves independent. They don't feel obliged to make their laws fit each other.
With respect to the first proposition, A, of the logical trilogy here, right, the three possibilities, the proposed ethical imperative or principled that one should obey all laws. And I'll elaborate that, you know, on that a little bit. So other ways we might put that is one who has good character would be a law-abiding citizen, which would mean obeying laws, even ones that that person might not agree with. Let's add that. Because there's a distinction between merely disagreeing with a law or finding a law morally corrupt. So one might disagree with tax laws that established, you know, tax rates, but still have an obligation to pay his or her taxes, even at rates that he or she didn't agree with. But that's distinguished from, you know, let's say a law that allowed or authorized slavery, which one might object to on moral grounds or humanitarian grounds. So one might say, well, the slavery type of thing might be an exception to the general rule of being a law-abiding citizen, that there comes a point when if a law is so immoral and so reprehensible that I cannot obey that law because it's too inconsistent with my my understanding of morality, that one might choose to not obey that law. Or you could have civil disobedience that might be considered legitimate where a law was broken, but there are certain conditions on that for it to be considered legitimate civil disobedience, like that no harm was done in the process of the civil disobedience. But interestingly, another requirement for civil disobedience is that a law actually be broken. If you're not breaking a law, that's not civil disobedience. You have to break a law but not cause harm. But anyway, so obviously there's going to be exceptions, but there being exceptions is different from just picking and choosing which laws one wishes to obey, depending on whether one agrees with them or not.
Yeah, there's a certain...
Merely disagreeing with, yeah.
This is kind of the virtue of the logical argument that you've laid down here, is it is exhaustive. It's all, none, or some, you know, so it's
right,
not...
Right, so I'm working on... Right, so I'm going to progress through the three possibilities and to arrive at my final conclusion. So I'm still talking about the possibility A, which is one should be a law-abiding citizen always, except when there's a, you know, exception. But the general rule is one should obey laws. One has better character if one obeys laws. One's a better person. I'm just giving different like iterations of this, what this principle would be. Now, I also believe that many people live by this principle. But my conclusion, of course, is going to be that it's mistaken. My claim with respect to possibility A is that it's implausible because of the fact that there are laws that are passed by illegitimate governments that one would likely or should at least feel no obligation to follow. If for no other, even if it seems to be a benign, you know, law, it still promotes the stability of a society, which promotes the continued existence.
Still power. Legitimizes an illegitimate state.
Right. And because it would be very difficult to find agreement on which laws were benign and which actually were illegitimate laws, because they all kind of mesh together, right? And there are so many different levels of government. And you have civil laws and you have criminal laws. So my contention is that many people would agree with me that that there can't be a rule that one should always obey laws of any country. So let's rule out A. If we accept my argument, let's rule out A. That leaves us B and C. So B, let's say that B is, let B be the possibility that the rule is one should obey some laws of some countries if the governments are legitimate. So that's sort of my formulation to be that with respect to legitimate governments, one should obey all the laws of legitimate governments. And I'm going to say that that's also implausible for this reason, because there's no agreement and there can be no agreement on what governments are legitimate and ones are not, that are not legitimate. And we spent a lot of time talking about that in the first part of the show. I made my argument that what type of government is legitimate, or which particular government is legitimate versus which is illegitimate, is an intractable, non-solvable problem that nobody can agree on, because there's differences of opinion, and they, even within Western philosophy, there's dramatic differences of opinion. I don't see any way to arrive at consensus. There seems to be no objective standard as to what is an illegitimate versus a legitimate form of government. Therefore, it seems like there can never be consensus on which laws of which government should be obeyed or not obeyed, which is fine. Let there be no consensus and let people decide for themselves. But that's exactly my point. And that was another thing, that a point I made at the beginning, was that is not a principled, that's not a principled law.
Yeah.
That's not an ethical standard if people are just deciding for themselves.
You can still have, you know, state apparatuses and governments that have operating judicial structures. It's just not as, your argument is that it's not as principled as people suppose.
Right. My argument is that which type of government is best and which type of government is legitimate and which particular government is legitimate is a matter of opinion and cannot be there's no objective standard that can be applied. Kant did a pretty good job of formulating objective standards, I think, for his moral imperatives. And of course, there was a lot of, you know, disagreement and updates. You know, W.D. Ross accommodated for weighting, putting different weights when there's conflicting imperatives. But so Kant wasn't perfect, but I think he did quite a good job in providing some rational objective criteria for an objective generalizable standard as opposed to just personal opinion. And as I said at the beginning, most ethicists, I believe, would say that ethics are quite distinct from personal opinion. So if we're in an arena where we can't find anything but personal opinion, then it seems like there's no ethics that we can apply to that domain, right? So I'm suggesting that in the domain of governments and states and legitimacy and types of governments and types of leaders and how much power an executive should have and how much is corrupt and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, there seems to be no objective standard that one can apply. Therefore, the domain of legitimate versus illegitimate governments and therefore by inference, legitimate and illegitimate laws is simply a matter of opinion, personal opinion. So my argument is that possibility B is not plausible either.
To take the polls of your sort of three-part answer here, that it's either none, none, all, or some. The all or none is non-arbitrary. It doesn't just pick or choose any of them. It's either all or none. But here, since there would be some, you have to have some criteria to discern which laws in that collection of some laws are to be followed and which are not to be followed. And that's the entire point that we've been making, is that, well, you can't. So it's not a viable.
Right.
So you have to rely on either all or none. And we've also ruled out all.
Yeah. So you're a step ahead of me and you got it. I mean, that's where I'm going, right? So that's where I'm going. I'm arguing that possibility, there's only three possibilities: all, none, or some. And that all makes no sense. So if the rule were one must abide by the laws of all countries, then that means one has to follow the laws of Adolf Hitler. And another possibility is that people are obligated to obey some of the laws or some of the laws of some of the countries. Well, the problem with that is that there can be no agreement about which those countries are and which those laws are. So how can you make a general principle when there could be no agreement about what it means? Which country should a person obey the laws of? Well, obviously that's going to depend on what your view of what country is legitimate or not. Hobbes wouldn't agree with with John Rawls, right? And they're both reputed philosophers. So if those two are ruled out, then that only leaves one, because A or B or C, right? So anyone who knows a little bit about logic, if I say A or B or C, and it's not A and it's not B, then it must be C. There's no other choice. It must be C. So if we can't make a principle that says one must obey all laws, nor can we make a principle that says one must obey some laws of some countries, that's not plausible, because there can be no objective standard about which countries and which laws. Unlike, a rule about not killing, you can say that across the board, in all countries, and whether people abide by it or not, there is a moral imperative not to kill. If we've eliminated possibility A and possibility B, all that leaves is that there is no obligation for people to obey any laws of any country. That's by logical deduction. So what does that leave us with? That leaves us with, I would argue, it leaves us with the notion that people who believe, as I have to admit, has been part of my identity, that I have better character, I have more integrity, I'm a better person, and I deserve more self-respect and respect from others by being the kind of person that obeys the law. That there's something intrinsically valuable. There's something intrinsically valuable about obeying the law because it's the law. And I've judged other people negatively for not doing so. So now this is where my logical theory actually turns into something, consequential in personal life, right? In actual life, not just philosophical theory. I judge people who don't obey traffic laws. They speed by me and I'll say something under my breath, or, some people yell at people. They get into road rage, I don't do that, but I judge other people for being the kind of people that don't obey the law. And I respect people who have this internal sense of obeying laws, because I think that they're not as self-interested. They're more interested in the welfare of others and being part of a community. But if the part of the community that one is in is a Nazi community, or I'm giving an extreme example, or a community which is governed by, you know, a tyrant or a dictator or an autocrat, like, I don't understand why people there in that society would think of themselves as having upstanding character because they obey the laws. They may believe very strongly that their form of government is the correct form of government. Many Turks believe that having a very strong autocrat, a strong man leader, is the best type of system, and they are very happy to obey the law because they believe in that. But it's, you can't make a general principle, because I wouldn't go to Turkey, I wouldn't go to Russia, I wouldn't go to Nazi Germany and feel that obligation to obey the law. So it's not a general principle that applies to everybody. It's a personal opinion. I might personally decide I'm going to obey the laws of Canada but not obey the laws of Russia. But that's not a general principle. So all that we're left with is personal opinion. I mean, I suppose I could say I'm a better person because I obey the laws that I think are legitimate. Okay, so, but, you know, but that's not ethics. That's not general principle. It's personal. It's just personal opinion. And so the conclusion of my argument, therefore, is that there is no principle that one should be obligated to obey or should feel obligated to abide by, which holds that a person should always obey the law. Seems like it's just an opinion. When you want to, you do, and when you don't want to, you don't.
So there's something interesting about the conclusion of the argument, or at this point, I think it's become a discussion now because we're through with the argument. But there is, so you can, I mean, this is the nature of being human. I suppose you can walk someone through a logical argument and they can still disagree with it, or, you know, they might, the force of the argument doesn't sway them or something, or they're just being irrational. But I do think that there actually is something quite interesting about the kind of moral conclusion that you derive from this. And it seems to be something that I value in it's something that I value in philosophy. And it's this kind of realization that maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the things that I think aren't necessarily true. So if I get into an argument with someone because they broke some rule, and I have this worked up fantasy that I'm in the right because this person is a bad person and I'm a good person, well, that might not, you know, you were following a rule, but how did you get to the conclusion that that makes you a better person, or you had like a moral high ground or something like that? So it has a kind of therapeutic effect of taking you down from a high horse and kind of intellectually humbling you in a certain way. If you construct an argument like this that helps you to see that, you know, people who, like, think about people who shoplift in order to feed themselves because they can't provide for themselves, and a lot of people kind of look at these people like they're bad people. Come on, if you were in that situation, you aren't in that situation, and so you don't know what you would do, but you might do that if you were in that situation. I mean, if you were in that situation, you might think differently just because of the situation that you are in. You might then begin to construct a narrative of, well, I need to do this and I'm justified. And that might even be true, but you get into these, I don't know how to put it, but I value when I can take a position that allows me to strip away these kinds of, I want to call them like fantasies, basically, of, well, I'm a good person because of this reason that just happens to arise. I like having principles for what I believe. And I know that that's precisely what you've been arguing against, but it's in the service of trying to be a bit more honest about certain principles or having them grounded in different ways. And this is one way of saying, okay, maybe in the moment I'm not right. I have a lot that I could critique in this argument too, but we are running out of time. And I'm just saying that as much as I might have things to disagree with, or as I might not be swayed, I agree, but I might not be swayed. I think that the effect of this argument still might have a certain value, that just because you find yourself on a certain side doesn't necessarily mean that you are justified in having whatever gumption about your law or your morality, I suppose.
Well, my argument might be valid, but it might not be sound. So I think that somebody could probably poke holes in the premises, and I'd like to hear what those objections are, and so maybe we'll talk about it another time and follow up on it. I think my argument is probably valid, but there probably are some reasonable objections to the premises themselves. Thank you very much, Brandon Brownlee. My name is Michael Robert Kaditz. You have been listening to the Canadian Philosophy Show. Email us at hello@philosophyshow.ca. You can find the Canadian Philosophy Show at tcps.podbean.com and on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Are you looking for reliable and free resources to navigate the digital world safely? Look no further. Media Smarts is here to help. From learning how to protect your privacy to managing screen time, Media Smarts offers all kinds of free resources for everyone about life online. Learn how to spot fake news with the help of the House Hippo. Think critically about the media all around you. And find ways to empower yourself online. Visit mediasmarts.ca today and learn the skills you need to thrive in the digital age.